Very interesting beginning of the Parsha starts not in a way all the other Parshas in Torah start with a command. Tzivui, Tzav, Chuko. This Parsha begins without a command. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, daber el Aaron v'amar to elov, behaloyscho es haneros. When you will light the candles, doesn't say you should light the candles, doesn't say daber al Aroin, command Aroin that he should light candles, doesn't say that. It says be'aloyscho, when you will light the candles, this is the way it should be done. Many of the parshonim are oimer on the fact of that distinction. It's very unique that the parsha is written that way. Rashi brings down another very unique element, which again we'll see maybe ties in to this concept. Rashi says that what is this whole union of Parshas Hanasim? So Rashi says, why is this found, Paloyscho, connected to Parshas Hanasim? So Rashi says, Kishero Aaron HaKohen Chanukas Hanasim, He was jealous that he wasn't involved with them in Chanukah. He and his shevet were not included in a Chanukah's Hanasim. And that's why he felt bad. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, don't worry. You have something even greater than they have. So you have something even better that Klai Yisrael don't, that the other Shvatim don't have. So everybody asks, what was Aaron jealous from? He did all, put all the korbanos. He did everything in the Beis HaMikdash. He had the most avoda. What's he jealous about? What's his jealousy? He's jealous of what? That they got this one extra piece, Chanukah Sanasim? That's one question. The other question is, if you're so jealous, so do it. What are you so jealous? You know, it always bothered me that the Gemara says, Mesech HaShabbos, Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis, that Rabbi Yossi says, Yehei Chelki, halavai I should be from the people of Tzipori. Because Tzipori, the way it was right on next to the mountain. So Shkia there was much later. They had a much later sunset. So the people living outside of Tzipori, they had a much earlier Motzei Shabbos. And Rabbi Samela, when people outside of Tzipori finish Shabbos, in Tzipori, they had another hour. It's like here in Shul, people that come downstairs to Shal Shudis, they listen to my Drosha, the Shal Shudis, which doesn't always end exactly on time. Except for right after Shavuos, it's very punctual, but otherwise, usually it's not on time. So, imagine, I don't see the people up here saying, hey, halavai I would be from those downstairs. Hey, chelki, from the people that finish late. But if somebody would, they'd be a fool. Somebody up here would say, ah, halavai I would be. You want to daven later, so daven later. What's the problem? What do you have to daven that you should be from the late daveners? Daven later. So Rabbi Yossi is saying, ah, I wish I would keep Shabbos as late as the people in Tzipori. So keep it. They have a 90, let's say they have a 90-minute zman until they manage. What over here would be 90, over there, that's when their Motzei Shabbos is. You want to keep 90 minutes? Keep 90 minutes. Somebody stopping Rabbi Yossi from keeping 90 minutes. He was the Rov of Tzipori. He was the Rav in many of the cities. He could keep whatever Zman he wants. Let him keep the latest Zman. So obviously there's something behind. He says, Alavai, I should be from those.
He wasn't.
Huh? He wasn't on that chelik. We should him explain. He lived on the lower part, higher part. But he had no problem keeping a later Zman if he wanted to. So what was his davening? That Alavai, I should be. So here also we have the same type of question. Number one, What is Aaron jealous about? He had all the avoiders in the Beis HaMikdash. Every avoider was him. Kohen Gadol is the boss. Even the lottery. Kohen Gadol overrides the lottery. You know, they had a lottery every day in Beis HaMikdash. They gave out the Kohen Tomer to 9 Kohanim. If Aaron HaKohen walks in, that's it. David could tell us from his 600 times learning Tomit that the Kohen Gadol has a right. Kohen Gadol makriv chelik b'roish v'noitel chelik b'roish. Kohen Gadol could walk in after the lottery and say, it's me. You know, they have by the Mega Million. A lot of people said it's me, even though it wasn't them. But Aaron HaKohen really could do that. After the lottery, Aaron HaKohen could walk in and say, I'm doing the avodah. I'm deciding. I'm doing the avodah. No. So what's he jealous about? And lastly, so do it. Taka, do it. Taka, the Korbanos HaNesim was all volunteer. Go bring it now. Go bring the Chanukah HaNesim. Go bring a Korban too. Korban Nedava. Go bring it. What's the problem? Can't bring in a Nedava, go bring in a Nedava. Assuming that we understand all these things, they make sense to us, we still fail to understand what was the pierce. So the Eibishter told him, don't worry. Shalcha Gadol Mishalahem. You have a greater chelik than them. She'ata madliku meitiv esaneis. Because you lighten the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that greater? How is that greater? Lighting the menorah is much lower. L'chayr. Hadlokah b'zao k'shera. Hadlokah z'ner doesn't even need a kohen. Chanukah HaNesim, the korbanos that they brought, they had to give it to a kohen to bring. So it's like, it's an hapachu. Aaron HaKohen is jealous of the korbanos HaNesim that they needed him to bring it. They couldn't even bring it on their own. They had to bring it to the kohen. Kohen should be makrifit, right? He's jealous of their karma. What does Hashem give him? Hashem gives him an avoider that he doesn't even need to do it himself. Or Yisrael could do it. It's like unbelievable. Now you feel better? We don't know why you're jealous. But let's say we understood why he was jealous. Now what do we give him? We give him an avoider that Yisrael could do. You don't even need a kohen. That makes you feel better now. Now you got an avoider that you don't need yourself for. The whole thing is a pill. Maybe she tells him, Shalcha Gadol, it's even bigger. So the Ramban tries to patch it up. And the Ramban says that when Aaron felt better, the Eibishter was really hinting to him the Chanukah of Chanukah. Wasn't talking about the menorah now. He's talking about the menorah of the Chashmonoim. The Ramban Shem was projecting the future. That's how he made Aaron HaKohen feel better. So we'll get back to that as well. How does that connect to the Aaron in the menorah? Okay, I'm going to skip over the inyan of Pesach Sheni, which I would like to talk about now, but we'll just go to the end of the parasha. We'll just briefly talk about Yisroi, one of the strangest conversations between Moshe Rabbeinu and his father-in-law Yisroi. Right, like we always point out, the Edom is usually, except for Yitzi, but most Edoms, they don't mind if the Shver leaves. They want the Shver, they don't mind if the Shver leaves. The Shver can leave. Haven't seen much machlekes that the Shver wants to go. I never had to deal with such dinei Torah. I've dealt with situations where the son-in-law wants the Shver to move out, and the wife doesn't, or the Shver, that I dealt a lot with. But lehepach, I never yet had a dinei Torah where the Shver wants to leave and the Edom is taking the Shver to the Torah, he wants him to stay. That's like a historic event. But that's what happened. Yisrael says, okay, I'm packing my bags, I'm going home. Okay, go. All right. Moshe Rabbeinu. Al no tazoi voisonu. This may even be a shtickl ex-Shver. Because he was separated from Tzipora. Makes it even better. Al no tazoi voisonu. Please don't leave us. And he starts giving Yisroi, he starts giving him some bribes. Tells him, if we go to Eretz Yisrael, I'll give you a chelik over there. Tehibish is going to give us, we're going to give you. Taka was Miskayim, Chazal tell us, Doishna Shal Yerichoi. Taka got something from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Klal Yisrael. Yisrael says no. But lo yelech kim, so showing Moshe was Yetz, he's a nice guy, Moshe. He has a shver to stay, even gives him a bribe. Yisrael says no. Moshe again. It's unbelievable. He begs his shver, not once, twice. Please, stay with us. It's not so partial that Yisrael was even allowed to turn down this request. Because we know there's a din, ain't misalvin l'gogl. Can't say no to a gogl. Moshe Rabbeinu was begging him a second time already. And he said, now he already gives him another reason. He says, we need your leadership. It's a new thing, new request. We need your leadership. He turns to his father-in-law, he says, we need your leadership. So, question number one, Bechlal, what's he begging Yisrael to stay? What does he want from Yisrael? Yisrael wants to go home, let him go home. Question number two, what does he mean that Yisrael is going to be a leader? We haven't learned anything about Yisrael being a leader. Yisrael wasn't a leader, he was a convert. He was a relatively recent convert, depending on when he was Megayer, or Machlekes. Yisrael wasn't from the Rabbonim, Klal Yisrael. He wasn't from the Mayatzes Gedel HaTera. So what's Yisrael going to teach them exactly? Say, well, maybe Yisrael knows certain things. He'll teach them about Avodah Zarah. He knows a lot more about Avodah Zarah than most people. He worshipped every Avodah Zarah. So when they get to Maseches Avodah Zarah, they learn about the Lubim. Oh, what kind of Avodah Zarah is that? He'll come right in, first guy raises his hand and share. That's exactly what it is. Gevaldik. It's like a Rebbe giving shi. He has one kid that went to the movies. He could tell them each movie exactly what's wrong. What's wrong with this movie? Oh! So Yisrael Zichar was a kid that was able to, and she'd be able to say all the problems of everything. It says, Yadati ki kodol Hashem kol Elohim. He went through everything. He went through all the Avodah Zarah, he knew everything. So you may think, man, who knows? Yisrael could give us some knowledge on Avodah Zarah, right? That's not what it says. It says, Rashi, what does it mean? V'yisolonu le'noi, that you'll enlighten us? So Rashi says, Loshen Osid. Kol Dovo V'Dovo Sheyisalem Einenu. Hear Rashi. Any time will be unclear. Tehei Ato Meir Einenu. You will enlighten us. Stam Chanifa, what's he doing? Playing games with Yisrael? You mean Christ are going to come to have Moshe Rabbeinu, Yishu Benun, Aaron HaKoyen, Osteel Ben Knaz, the Shivim Skenim. And then when everybody's dumbfounded, then they're going to call Jethro in. Jethro, help us, save us. Moshe doesn't know Pshat in the Gemara. Maybe Jethro will help us out. He'll say, what do you mean? Do you have an art scroll on the Masechta? I can't help you without an art scroll. What are you calling in Yisrael? Mistami Yisrael needed an art scroll. I'm not talking about the Hebrew English. What does the Rashi mean? Any call Dover with Dover, anything we don't know, Te'ato Meirinen. You're going to be our enlightener. You're going to enlighten us. Moshe wasn't a machnif. Moshe wasn't playing games. I mean, if Moshe said this, he was meant was real stuff. This is for real. At the end of the parsha, we learn about Aaron and Miriam and the whole ma'aseh with Lashon Hara. And Miriam becomes a metzoras. And the pasuk says, Miriam becomes a metzoras. The very minimum amount to metzoras is 1 week. You can't be tummy for less than a week. The pasuk now tells us a chiddush. Klal Yisrael had l'chayre two choices. You're not going to leave Miriam alone over there. I'm not going to leave Miriam alone. A metzoras, mechutz l'machana. Klaisol have, Baruch Hashem, it's a big olam. Take a group, chaverim. You call chaverim, chaverim, we got a mitzvah here. We need some, somebody had a woman, chaverois. You'll stay with Miriam. We got it, the whole Klaisol have to go. Instead, Gans Klaisol waiting for Miriam. It's unbelievable. For home, Lenosa, so this time Pulsuk. Ad Yosef Miriam. Till Miriam was ready to move, nobody left. So Chazal looked for what schus Miriam had that we all waited for her. So if you'd ask me, and I wasn't dealing with Rashi or anything, I would say, what do you mean? Of course, the Be'er, the water that we drank for 40 years in the Midbar, you don't have to look far to find schusim for Miriam. The fact that we had liquid water for 40 years in the desert, you all understand that without Mayim in the desert, you can't live. So the water that we had for 40 years till Miriam died was the schus of Miriam. She was one of the Gimel Parnosim of Klal Yisrael. She was one of the three Parnosim of Klal Yisrael. The water came in her schus till she died. After she died, there went in schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. But Kol Zman, she was alive. The Be'er was in her schus. So I understand if she's a mitzvahs, so we wait for her.
This took place at the end of the 40 years or the beginning of it? Before the 40 years was declared.
It doesn't matter how long it is. I'm just telling you. And if we drank water from her for 30 days, the point is the Be'er that was going to sustain us for the now and for the future. That means we had certain things we needed for our sustenance. Mon, Mayim, Anane Akova, those were our three essentials. Not luxuries. That's what we lived on for 40 years. The mon was in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Anane Akova in the schus of Aaron HaKohen. And then water was the schus of Miriam. So there were three people out of the whole nation. There were three people that were sustaining the nation in their schus. And Miriam is one of the three.
Why couldn't Miriam follow the machna outside the machna and let them go? Why couldn't the machna go when she followed outside?
That's another shayla. We'll have to know what the pshat in that is, but that's a different shayla. The point is that the Torah made an issue. Actually, the mashmoy series is that dafka we waited to show Miriam is a mitzvah. If we would have moved and they would have moved with her, with us, we wouldn't have shown anything. Claude, this was a payback time. So you know what Chazal tells? They give us a reason that L'chayr makes no sense. Obviously it does, we just have to understand it. When Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the oil, so Miriam waited. She waited in the distance to see what will be with Moshe Rabbeinu. Which sister wouldn't do such a thing? Tell me a sister. A sister wouldn't do such a thing. Is it a shanta? Shanta. So now Gantz Klais will have to wait because Miriam did a regular, normal, humane thing that any sister would do. Nebuch, 3-month-old brother, a preemie Nebuch, is born early, thrown into the oil. So she sat to see what's going to be with him. That's a tzadekis. That's something you put on the matzeva. Would you put that on the matzeva? That when a brother was in the ocean, thrown into the river, so she stood to make sure that he doesn't die. That's a schus. Why do we have to? I understand if you're stuck. You know, sometimes you go to a levaya, they don't know what to say, so they start talking about these kind of things. You know what I mean? Never missed good morning. Okay, once you're really talking about the person's good morning, you know what you do. Said good morning every day. Miriam is not hard to find what to say. And why aren't Chazal looking for something tzibur related? Now it's true, you could indirectly say, well, Miriam looking to see what will be with Moshe, who later became the leader. I understand. I could make a connection if I had to. If I'm stuck, I could make a connection. But why do we need a shtickle Torah when we have a Pesach Pesach? She was one of the leaders of the generation. She sustained the generation. So it was only menschlich. We wait for her. For a week, we wait for her. She's going to give us, she's giving us our liquid, and what we're living on, our drink, for 40 years in the Midbar, so we're going to wait for her for 7 days. Okay. That's okay. I think it's reasonable. Payback. So obviously, see Chazal at a different standpoint. Another thing that bothered me, that this doesn't seem such an honorable type of waiting. Right? If you were Miriam, I don't know so much that you would want this to be so publicized. If you're a Mitzvah, you'd rather nobody know. It's not the kind of illness that you like to publicize. It's not the type of illness you like to publicize. Certain things you don't mind to publicize. You're busy with your child's chasana. You're busy by a shiur. You're doing some chesed. If you're busy with your mitzvah, you don't want the whole... The ganz kleis was like, what do we, you know, it is new. Everybody's going new. Shh, Miriam's a mitzvah. That's a cover. It's like when I came back from Israel 10 years ago and I had a problem with my stomach. So every doctor in shul had to come over to see how I'm doing and to examine me. Every doctor. I said, enough, Dayenu. Ilu lo yehetzionu, Dayenu. I had every doctor in the shul in the house. They were all gavaldic, they meant chas v'sholom. But by the time the fourth doctor came, people came, even the PhDs. Not only the MDs. Right? So Miriam's a mitzvah. She doesn't need everybody to come to see her. Everybody's like, oh, we're waiting for her. This is not an honorable waiting. Why do we use, why is this the one that's used to show that we're waiting? This is what we're waiting. There has to be some pshat. What are we waiting? So obviously there must be a connection. So I'll tell you, as we go back to the beginning of the parasha, right after Aaron HaKohen gets the mitzvah of the menorah, the Ribono Shel Olam, we find in the Torah, it says in Eidus, it says, "Vizem maase amenoyra vayaskein Aaron omupne amenoyra helo neleiseha kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe." So Rashi says, "What is that extra pasuk doing here?" It's malame tshvachay shel Aaron shel Ishina. Rashi says this is praising Aaron that he didn't change, he didn't deviate. Simply, it means Aaron HaKohen was told how to light the menorah, and he lit it the way he was told. He did it. He did it properly. Because he was a Shulchan Aruch Yid. He followed the Mishnah Berurah. That's Magid Shvachay Shalom. That's the praise. The Torah has to give us an extra pasuk to tell us Magid Shvachay. And this pasuk is used, this drash is used many times describing different Gedolei Yisrael in situations of Mesiras Nefesh that they kept everything Petachlis in the concentration camps, Loishina. Talking about Aaron HaKohen lighting the menorah. See, he did it according to what it says in the book. That's the praise. Magid Shvachay Shel Aaron. Such praise, Shaloi Shina, that he didn't change. What's it talking about? What is this tremendous praise? So the emphasis is like this. When the Nesiim brought that Korban, there was a very unique aspect to the Korbanos HaNesiim. The Korbanos HaNesiim was unique that they went and they did something that wasn't their job. That's what was unique of the Nesiim. The Nesiim Be'emes, their job is to lead Klal Yisrael in the Gashmias. The Nesiim's job is not to bring Korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. That's Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi's job is to bring Korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. The Nesiim, that's not their job. When the Nesiim came and Chazal tell us each Nasi on his own volunteered to do these korbanos, what the Nesiim basically did was they stepped out of their box. It's very easy for somebody to do what they have to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. I do what I have to do. The Nesiim went outside of their box. The Nesiim went and they brought korbanos. That's not their responsibility. That they weren't asked to do. It's not even in their box of responsibilities. It's not even in their. It's not even on their shopping list. The Nesiim won, they brought korbanos. Aaron HaKohen's jealousy in the Nesiim was, I could never do what you did. Because even if I'll go bring korbanos, you know, I'm a Kohen. So I'll bring korbanos, fine. It's an extension of my job. That's why it says, Chol Shadaito Shelo Yoyimayim Loihuva Loishiftoi. So he asked what he means. So bring. What do you have to be so jealous? Bring it. So what's the problem? No problem. Terence says, it wouldn't help if he brought it. The Nesiim went out of the box. The Nesiim went and brought Korbanos. That's not in their responsibility. That's something special. That's unique. Aaron HaKohen was bothered. That I could never have. That I could never do. Klal Yisrael, throughout the time in the Midbar, whenever we're going to have an issue and we're not doing the proper thing, we have Yisroi. Yisroi, this whole mamad, Maimon Har Sinai, Kabbalah, Torah, Shmir, Samitzis, all that, that's out of his box. He was a Kohen Midyan. He was a priest of Midyan. This wasn't his job to be here, to be Eved Hashem. This is not his job. So Moshe told Yisroi, whenever we're going to have a situation of darkness, and we look at you, you're like the Nasi, the constant Nasi. Because you're the living proof of somebody who volunteers himself to Avodah Hashem. Without being picked, without being chosen, without it being his job. His job is a priest. His job is to be the Pope. And what is he? He's an Oy of Hashem and he's Oysik Batura. That's what Moshe told Yisrael. None of us could do what you're doing. Exactly what Chol Shadaita Shel Aaron. When Aaron felt bitter, he can't be like the Nesiim. Because it's his job. Whatever he's going to do in the Beis HaMikdash is his job. So if I'm doing my job, I can't be like somebody who's going out and doing Avodas Hashem with it not being his job. Yisroi represented every aspect of that. And that's what Moshe told Yisroi. You are our Enayim. You're our sign. You're our symbol. Kol Dovo, everything that you, Te'ata Me'er Enenu. You're going to be the one who's going to be Me'er Enenu. We know that in Mitzrayim, Amram was the Gadol Hador. And Amram decreed that they should divorce their wives. Because Paroi was Goyzer. They call Ben Ayulot, Ayoyot HaShlichu. So Amram, who was a Gadol Hador, he said, if that's the case, we shouldn't be building families. Building families, Lorik. Miriam Anavia then got up and she said, she said, Tati, your gzeira is worse than the gzeira of Pari. Pari was only gzeira on Tzchorim, Va'ato, Ben HaTzchorim, Ben HaNekevis. She told him, that's one thing. And then she made a projection, a prophecy on the future. Asidoimi Shetelet Ben Shemoshias Yisrael. Miriam totally went out of a box. Miriam went out of a box. She wasn't a leader. She took on herself the responsibility that Klal Yisrael should continue to build homes. And it was that responsibility that she took upon herself that ultimately bore the perils of Moshe being born. And when we say that Miriam there waited for her brother, it's not just waited over there. She facilitated everything that Moshe should come to be. Miriam went and she saw to it that there should be a Moshe Rabbeinu till the end. From the beginning, I want to tell you, it doesn't just mean Merochek from the water. Merochek, when we were very far from Geula, from the distance, she saw, she waited that there should be a Moshe Rabbeinu. And the biggest chusah was for her is imagine yourself a three-year-old girl. Okay, then 3 years old was different than today, 3 years old. The maturity, the this. Miriam gets up. She's a little girl. She's a young little girl. Who is she to start talking to her father? Father's the Gadol Hador. Obviously, there was a Beis Din. There was Shevet Levi. She's a little punk. And she gets up and she says, this is not this. Klai Yisrael need a Geula. And it was ultimately her decision of to step out of the box to be able to be Zoyche. that we should have a gula, even though we were then not at a place where anybody was thinking gula. Amram was obviously not thinking gula. When Amram said, let's divorce our wives and let's not have kids meanwhile, Amram was basically saying the gula is not in the cards right now. Now it's not a zman of gula. Because if Amram would have had the same feeling, that wouldn't have been his conclusion. So she, when it was rochik, when it was very distant to gula, she went and waited and saw to it that should happen. That was rizchus. What's the midah connected midah? When Miriam became a mitzaras, a mitzara doesn't have an end date. A mitzara could be a mitzara for 25 years. A mitzara could be a mitzara for 100 years. You could die a mitzara. There's no end, there's no limit. Mitzara muzgur has a limit. But a mitzara muchlet, a guy could be a mitzara for a very long time. There's no end. It's not really the smartest thing to wait for somebody when they're a mitzvah. You know, when you tell your wife she wants to leave, you say, I need another 2 minutes, yeah? I do a lot of that. I need another 2 minutes. So, of course, my children say, Tati, is it your 2 minutes or mommy's 2 minutes? Because my 2 minutes, Elef Shana Ben Echok Yehim Esma. 2 minutes. What are you waiting for? You're waiting for Miriam? She's mitzvahs. It's not like we weren't able to say we're waiting for a week. We're waiting for 2 weeks. Waiting endlessly. The Teretz is, kishen that Miriam was able to see that there's an end. Even though we were in a matzav of golus, she was able to say, you know what, there's going to be a geula. And she was able to say, we're going to bring it. The geula's coming. And she saw in her brother the Gula, even though Kleisel then were in the low. Memte Sharitum. So we, Mida Keneged Mida, when she was a Mitzaras, we saw the Tahar. We showed Miriam, we know you're going to be tall. That was the Mida Keneged Mida. Because that's what she saw. She saw in us when we were in a Matzav of Tumah. She saw the Tahara. She saw the Gula. So the Mida Keneged Mida, the payback to Miriam, was in the exact way that she saw in us, that's exactly what we saw in her. Okay, we'll have to read the rest for Shabbos, but that basically...